From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's broadcast, we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Are the Children In? The text is Isaiah 44 and verse 3. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Our dear children have not the Spirit of God by nature, as we plainly see. We see much in them that makes us fear as to their future, and this drives us to agonizing prayer. When a son becomes especially perverse, we cry with Abraham, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee! We would sooner see our daughters Hannahs than empresses. This verse should greatly encourage us. It follows upon the words, Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and it may well banish our fears. The Lord will give his Spirit, will give it plentifully, pouring it out, will give it effectually, so that it shall be a real and eternal blessing. Under this divine outpouring, our children shall come forward, and one shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. This is one of those promises concerning which the Lord will be inquired of. Should we not, at set times, in a distinct manner, pray for our offspring? We cannot give them new hearts, but the Holy Spirit can, and He is easily to be entreated of. The great Father takes pleasure in the prayers of fathers and mothers. Have we any dear ones outside of the ark? Let us not rest till they are shut in with us by the Lord's own hand.
Light of God, you are all to see. Jesus, Son of God, you truly.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Again, that's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, Good News for the Whole World. The text is Romans chapter 1, verse 5, By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. As Dr. Cairns has explained, the opening verses of this chapter lead up to verse 16, where Paul establishes the main message of Romans, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Thus Paul preached the only gospel that would meet the spiritual need of all people, regardless of national, cultural, racial, or societal differences. First, we'll see that in the person of Christ, God has provided a mediator for the whole world. Now here is Dr. Cairns.
God has provided for the need of the world in the person and gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I will preach Christ to the nations. Now, that's one of the major themes of the book of Romans. So the message of our text, then, is that the gospel is the gospel for the world. I title it simply, Good News for the Whole World. And as you look at it, you'll find that Paul is making some very fundamental statements. Number one, the Lord has provided a mediator for the whole world. Notice the beginning of verse 5. Through whom we have received grace and apostleship. Now, the words "through whom" take us back to verses 3 and 4. If you remember what we were looking at there, the gospel of God concerns His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, made of the seed of David according to the flesh, but declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Now, this is the reference. Now, having talked about Christ, the Son of God, Christ, the Son of David, God and man, he says, through Him, we receive grace. In other words, this is the mediator whom God has provided for the world. He deals with the deity of Christ. He brings alongside that the humanity of Christ. And he says, in effect, He is thereby fitted to be the mediator of God's grace to man of every kind, man in every condition. I was just thinking of the ritual at the Day of Atonement. You find it given in Leviticus chapter 16. In the midst of all that glorious ritual that points forward to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember there were two goats, one that was to be slain, the other, the sin was to be confessed over, and then it was to be led away into the wilderness. The two goats together picture the same Christ. Christ who on the one hand died, was immolated as a victim of the wrath of God to put away God's wrath and satisfy God's justice. The goat that was led away into the wilderness with the sin confessed over it, emblematic of Christ taking away our sins, never to be brought face to face with us anymore. So you've Christ removing our sins as far as God is concerned. That's Christ on the altar. You've Christ removing our sins from us so that we never meet up with them again. That's Christ typified by the scapegoat. But that goat was led away into the wilderness, we are told, by the hand of a fit man. Now there's a lot could be said about the expression and about the original intention and expounding it in context. That's not what I'm about tonight. That's a description that has always, always fascinated me. Because remember, the entire type speaks of Christ. Christ is not only typified by the goat in the altar, not only typified by the goat that's led away, He's typified by the priest who does the slaying, He's typified by the fit man who leads the goat away. Everything is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you think of the hand of a fit man, it raises the question, where in all the universe can we find a man fit to put a hand on the throne of God and satisfy God and put a hand on the head of a poor, wretched, guilty, hell-deserving sinner and meet that sinner in his need, satisfy God, put away the sin of the sinner and reconcile God and man in His own person? Where can we find a fit man to deal with our sin? Where can we find a fit man to be a mediator between God and man? And the glory of the gospel is Jesus Christ is that mediator. Jesus Christ is that mediator. And I tell you something, if you study the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find that the term mediator, the title mediator, is something that is never given to any other individual but Jesus Christ. Now look at your Bible and you'll find I'm right. Oh, there are pictures of mediation. Aaron, for example, standing before the plague, holding back the plague, the wrath of God, as the high priest. Aaron is a picture of Christ, the mediator, but he's not called the mediator. Moses interceding when the wrath of God would have burned up the whole nation. Moses interceding, that's a picture of Christ the mediator. But even Moses is not called the mediator. And if I may be forgiven for digressing a little, because somebody's bound to ask me this, when you get to Galatians chapter 3, where most commentators tell you Moses is called the mediator, they're wrong. Now, that's a very bold statement, because the text in Galatians chapter 3 has engendered more suggestive interpretations than any other single text in the whole of the New Testament. And so it may be a little bold of me to say they are wrong. But when you get to Galatians 3, verse 19, wherefore then serveth the law, that is the whole economy of the law, it was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. And commentators jump immediately to the meaning that's the hand of Moses. But read on. Now, a mediator is not... You'll notice a mediator again is in italicized type. A mediator is not of one. Let me tell you what this is saying. It was ordained by angels in the hand of the mediator. As if there's only one recognizable mediator. And there is. Now, a mediator is not of one. But God is one. What does that mean? The usual thing is, well, a mediator needs two parties, God and man. Well, you know, come off it. Does the Holy Ghost usually take so many words to state the absolutely obvious? What is he saying? One of the most powerful statements in the whole Scripture. This is what's called an elliptical statement. In other words, there are words left out because you're supposed to be able to supply the thought quite naturally. He has been speaking of law and promise. Promise and law. Those are the two things he's been talking about. And he's saying, there is one who is called the mediator. And he's not a mediator of merely one of these. So many people think that Jesus Christ is the mediator of the promise. And that's all. No, 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 says the apostle. He is the mediator of the promise, and he is the mediator in whose hand God gave the economy of the law. And God is one and the same under both. Actually, it's one of the great proof texts of covenant theology. You have one God, one gospel, one mediator, one plan of salvation from beginning to end. Let me tell you, throughout this Bible, only one person has ever had the title given by God of the mediator, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no grace but through Christ. That's why I hate the system of popery. With a passion, I hate it. As a Presbyterian and a Protestant, I am quite happy to believe what the Bible teaches concerning means of grace. That the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, and prayer, the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, they are means of grace in a scriptural sense. But anybody who makes them, as Rome does, to use a little Latin phrase, opus operatum, by the mere performance of the act, that they are necessary channels of grace. Anybody who invents a priesthood and says that this priesthood is a channel of grace, so that when some bishop puts his hands upon you, by the mere fact of his being a bishop, you receive grace. When some lying priest, whether in Latin or in English, says, I absolve you from your sin, you receive grace. I'm here to tell you that is a lie. There is but one mediator. What did Paul write to Timothy? 1 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 5. There is one God. And there is one mediator between God and man. You may have been reading in the press recently all the letters from Roman Catholics telling us that they are absolutely as orthodox as the evangelicals. And they don't believe that Mary is a mediator. And they don't believe that they pray to Mary or they worship Mary or anything else. Let me tell you what the Vatican Confession or Catechism says. She is a mediatrix. She is the co-redemptrix. Now that's blasphemous. And there's no one in all the universe would repudiate it more wholeheartedly than the Virgin Mary herself. There is one mediator between God and man. And he doesn't need Mary's help. And he doesn't need the saints' help. He is the sole sufficient mediator through whom all of the grace of God flows. There is no grace from God except through Jesus Christ. God is love, but all the love of God for man must come through Christ. All the forgiveness must come through Christ. That's why he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Outside of Jesus Christ, let me make this statement very reverently. But let me make it very honestly. Outside of Jesus Christ, guilty sinners will find there is not a molecule of mercy in God. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is not a gram of saving grace. Paul says it is through Him we have received grace, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who have been here in Sabbath mornings will know we have been studying the life of Christ. And we were thinking a few weeks back of His interview with Nathanael and how He brought Nathanael, whom He had referred to in an oblique manner as another Jacob, or a better than Jacob in some ways, but He had linked him with Jacob, and Nathanael knew that. And immediately the Lord Jesus spoke about Himself as the fulfillment of Jacob's ladder set up on earth whose top reached to heaven. He says, "You will see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Set up on earth, the top reaching to heaven, the intercourse between heaven and earth. And it is all through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Peter said, "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There's no other name. Jesus said, "I am the way. There's no other way. I am the truth. There's no other truth. I am the life. And there's no other life." There is an idea here, of course, in this mediation that He has established the merit on which God may accept us. He is the mediator because He has the merit. And that brings us back to, and I don't want to go over what we looked at in verses 3 and 4 again, but that brings us back to the person and the work of Christ. It's through Him, through what He is, through what He did, through the merit of the Redeemer, through the blood and the righteousness, the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate. It is through Him we have received grace. We read last week that He is the Son of God with power. He was ordained the Son of God with power. He was not ordained the Son of God by the resurrection, but He was installed, and if we could put this as one term, Son of God with power, saving power, as the result of the resurrection through Him. In other words, He has the right and He has the power to bring God's grace to us. And I like to think that here there's a hint of the success of His mediation, through whom we received what? We received grace. Not through whom we received the chance to obtain grace. There's an awful lot of people want to reduce the work of Christ to chance. Jesus died to give me the opportunity to have saving grace. Now, where in all the world did you read that? And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know where you read it, but it wasn't in the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ did not die to purchase a chance. He died to purchase a church. The Lord Jesus didn't die merely to give sinners an opportunity to do something. He died to do something for sinners who could do nothing for themselves. The Lord Jesus, when He died, did a successful work. And through His mediation, we actually receive grace. In other words, what He merited, He actually mediates. He actually confers. He didn't die in vain. And here's a great theme throughout Scripture. And we'll have cause to come up against it again and again in Romans. But you come up with it everywhere you turn in the New Testament. That is, that everything that Christ purchased will be bestowed.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.